So, I'm here interviewing Marcus Tomey, an international studies major here at the UW, about his experiences transferring to the University of Washington, as well as visiting the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. So, we'll just get started. So, Marcus, where did you transfer from?
I transferred primarily from Bellevue Community College, but I also had some credits from Minnesota and North Seattle Community College and an international school in Europe.
Okay. Now, I hear in your voice that it doesn't sound like English is your first language. Where are you from?
I was born and raised in Switzerland, but I moved here the first time in 2000, so about 5 years ago, and then again in 2003, so Europe.
Okay. Why did you decide on the University of Washington?
As a matter of fact, I met my ex-girlfriend in Brazil, and she studied at the University of Washington, so it was... You know, it was pretty much the place to be at the time. And, you know, I kind of suck around.
So it's worked out pretty well.
Well, the school part, yes.
The school part. How was the transition from the other schools that you went to were two-year schools?
Yes.
How did that transition go for you?
Oh, I prefer it much more here. It's more of a serious academic environment, and it's more challenging. There's many more opportunities. So I was quite relieved to finally be, like, in a setting where school is being... One could say taken seriously.
Okay.
Place it.
Okay. Did you, what do you know now about the UW that you wish you had known when you were thinking about transferring?
Well, just that it rains a lot. Besides that, I mean, I was surprised by just how, you know, how many resources there are. And I mean, that would probably encourage me to try harder. But, and just, I found that the requirements to be stated a bit, you know, not very obvious, and that's where we hindered the process in the first place.
Okay, so finding the actual, what the requirements were.
Yeah, and really talk to someone and get, like, you know, sometimes it's ambiguous, sometimes there's different information, and really talk to people at the UW and make sure everything's in order.
Okay, which some students may hopefully know about our Transfer Thursdays, which is intended to bring students to campus and set them up with an admissions person as well as an academic counselor, so it's a good time for me to plug that. Was there anything in particular that that you found helpful when you were starting to learn about resources?
Yes, actually, I took part of a class that we had a librarian come in for 1 hour, and he showed us the tools that you could find just on the web through UW, and that really still helps today.
Okay. Was that like a trade class, or was it something else?
It was a class on international humanitarian law, so it was pretty tough to research this in the first place, and the librarian really had like a sheet and everything ready to hand us out with resources and...
Wonderful.
Everything. So yeah, that helped a lot.
Okay, that's interesting. What kind of advice would you pass on to prospective transfer students? You've been here how many quarters? This is your fourth quarter?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's my fourth quarter.
Okay.
I took one advice is definitely do the non-matric part in the summer if you can. It's just a good way to kind of get an intro. There's no requirement to get anyone to set up for a class, and it's really helpful to kind of get a feel for how it is at the big school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also good on your transcript once you apply for UW.
Sure.
It's kind of good rates on that. So that would be one of the advices. And then, you know, just, I think it's important from a two-year school coming here to, like, really not just go to school and then go home and, like, you know, watch TV, but really kind of, you know, soak up the environment and the opportunities offered.
That's certainly something we hear, that students who can work full-time and go to school full-time at the two-year school find, but then not the same is true here.
It's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of opportunities that you afford yourself of, how did you hear about this trip to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge?
That's again a fault of my girlfriend. She's at the School of Marine Affairs, and
okay.
She had gotten an email announcing the class because it's more related to her field than mine. And I saw it, and I've always loved Alaska and the Arctic, and that's my real passion. Politics, really, is environmental issues and foreign policy. So I applied for the class, and they accepted me for some reason, and I went, and it was by far the best class I've ever taken in terms of experience.
Okay. So some of the class was here in Seattle, and some of it was actually up in Alaska. Tell me about that.
Sure. Well, we had 2 weeks here that was kind of preparing us for the class. The goal was to create a museum exhibit at the end of the class, so we had to go to museums, kind of see how they're set up, and come up with a plan, like an outlining plan, how to set up an exhibit. So that was the first 2 weeks, and we had guest speakers come in, Gordon Oreo came in. And this kind of was the background on the Arctic Refuge and the politics behind it, on geology, everything about the issue. And then we went up there in late July for 8 days and kind of experienced the place firsthand. And that really was the reason I think most people signed up in the first place, but it was even better than what most had expected. Just everything about the refuge, everything about just Alaska, and mm-hmm. the people we talked to again back in Fairbanks. It was very, very just great.
So what was it like?
The refuge?
Yeah. And the living conditions. There were 12 students and some faculty as well.
Yes,
right?
There was two groups of, I believe you had like 8 per group. I'm not quite sure, about 8 people. There was 2 rivers. We split up to 2 groups each, 1 per river. And, well, the living conditions, I would say, if you don't mind, you know, running from mosquitoes, digging your hole, if you have to use restroom and uh-huh. freezing, you know, it's freezing cold, obviously, but uh-huh. the rewards are like just...
And long days too, yeah?
Yeah, but that kind of is an advantage for you because it never gets dark. Uh-huh. So kind of your metabolism adapts and you just kind of are awake the whole time and you sleep like a couple hours a day, maybe 2 or 3, and it's just, one doesn't feel tired, one feels perfectly awake because the sun's always there.
Interesting.
So that's I think it's a big plus, and just the experience of like, you know, reading a book at 3 a.m. without a flashlight, it's just kind of unique. But yeah, the place was great. I mean, you know, coming from like 2-hour-long sunsets and immediate sunrises to like, you know, just the peace and quiet, mm-hmm. like the knowledge there's no human being in like in a 20-30 mile radius and hasn't been in the last 50 years probably. Mm-hmm. And just the wildlife, the flowers, we didn't see many animals, but we did see some caribou and foxes and tons of birds. So it's just like a place to observe nature, really.
Now, if there was one thing you wanted, you know, people at large to know about Anwar, what would it be?
Wow. Well, essentially, just not to believe what people say it is. It's not like paradise. And it's not a place where, you know, you're going to go there, sit on the beach and, you know, have a great time. It's a rough place. It's not, you know, hospital at all. And on the other hand, it's not a wasteland either. You kind of have to make up your own mind. And if you can't go there, there are still resources to find out about it. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, don't go with the people in the press tell you because it's probably not true.
Well, so when you got back, then what did you end up doing for the class presentation? Or were there, it sounds like there were some visits too. Was it Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, that was after the class. Well, first we had to finish up our interpretive time. We had like 5 days for that. We didn't have enough time, I can tell you. And we just kind of passed it together and it turned out to be all right. But so we just essentially presented our journals and they came up with what we wanted to convey to like a broader audience if there was an exhibit in the museum one day. And that was done with, I forget her name, but... Yeah, I forget her name. But she was an instructor at teaching like industrial...
Oh, industrial design.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so she guided us through that process. And after class was out, we kind of wanted to keep going on the issue. And now we got the opportunity to go to D.C. Mm-hmm. through like the same foundation, Lucky 7 Foundation. Okay. And I think 10 of us went there just to meet the congressmen and representatives and discuss and kind of convey our knowledge, like, because we had the impression that we had been there, we gained a unique insight into the issue and we studied it really mm-hmm. thoroughly, and versus maybe other groups that just kind of have like a straight political agenda, we kind of hope to bring a new angle, a new perspective to the issue by actually conveying that we've been there, that's what we found, mm-hmm. and then let people make up their own minds, certainly biased to some extent, since mm-hmm. neither of us wanted the place to be drilled, but still like, you know, not trying to dissuade people, but rather just presenting the facts.
So then did everyone who went on the trip from the class have kind of the same takeaway, the same impressions, or did you all bring different things to it and come away with different things as well? I mean, when you were trying to convey an overall sense of your trip to members of Congress, you know, how did that go?
Well, it was definitely very much an individual experience. We had people that were from the get-go, all, you know, don't drill, leave it alone, poor environment. And there was people that were on the fence. And I would say... it didn't make much of a difference in the end. Those who were like pro-drilling were still, you know, maybe a bit less pro-drilling. Mm-hmm. And those who were pro-saving it, they were definitely pro-saving it. But what changed was really argumentation behind it. Yeah, like now reason to mm-hmm. say why we were opposed, why we were in favor of it. And just that in itself helped. I don't think the personal opinion should be irrelevant if you go to Congress, man. It should be really what you have to offer. Because everybody has an opinion and mm-hmm. that doesn't really help. But you have to actually present facts. And that's what we tried to do.
Hmm, interesting. Yeah, the theme of this particular issue of the Transfer e-newsletter is Express Yourself, and we're doing a number of different topics, so I was wondering about the role of expressing yourself. Did you find that satisfying, then, to go talk to these people who are supposed to be representing all of us? Well, I haven't even asked, are you an American citizen, or are you visiting here?
I'm a permanent resident, so I will be a citizen a couple years down the road, I hope. As they kick me out, but...
So these folks are still, they're making decisions that have a long-term impact on you and your future.
Certainly. And, well, it's hard to say, really, because you only met with 2 representatives themselves, and mostly it was just staffers, but I was surprised just how much they knew. I mean, even the representatives were very much knowledgeable about the issue, and they knew where they're coming from, and they were very good in conveying that it wasn't just, you know, they couldn't just say, oh, that's my opinion. There was many more things at play. Like, obviously, there are fellow congressmen, like alliances, and there was more behind the issue than just that. So that was a huge plus. But they were very, you know, they listened and they were there. I don't think they made much of a difference, but, you know, that's always hard to judge, and sometimes just a little bit is enough.
Yeah, but you had an opportunity to express yourself in a way that, I mean, gosh, the majority of Americans, you get some letters and emails, but actually having a face-to-face meeting with somebody, that's it's not all that normal.
Well,
it's not that usual.
Most could do it because they have offices in the states of where they're from. I mean, it's really just initiative, and I think that's people sometimes don't realize. Politics is not just somewhere of ABC. It's really out in front, your front door. Mm-hmm. If you write an op-ed to a newspaper, if you go to your representatives in your city, get involved in state politics. There's so many ways to really get involved in politics. It's not just about talking to George Bush. There's many more people that have stuff to say as well.
So would you say that the trip had any lasting effects on you?
Besides a few mosquito bites. No, I would say so. I mean, I definitely want to go back there to the refuge and planning a trip this summer. And mostly maybe just to appreciate the multidisciplinary approach to classes. I really like that a lot. It was geologists, like political science majors, everyone was really involved and brought different perspectives to it and different knowledge. So that was very good. And in general, I should say more of an appreciation for nature. And, you know, I would try to stop them from drilling like by writing letters and things like that. But I feel a bit more committed to the issue now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's just drift briefly to the future. You're an international studies major.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume from your background, well, and I know from your transcript, having seen it, that you've taken a wide variety of different languages. What languages do you speak and or are you learning?
Sure. Well, I'm a native speaker of German, well, Swiss German.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak also French, Spanish, Portuguese, English, and Italian. And I'm currently studying Arabic. My goal is to be a diplomat one day, so I think that will come in very handy.
Okay. I was wondering if your linguistic abilities played a role in your career aspirations. And
they did. At first, they were like a nuisance because I was a computer science major, but I got bored of boxes and machines, and I'm more interested in people now, so they're not a huge asset to my favor.
Yeah. Well, one last question, and this may be just opinion, or it may be informed by the facts of your trip. You're interested in environmental issues with an international studies major and having your kind of immigration history. Is what's going on with Anwar a solely American problem or dilemma to solve? Or do you think that other countries ought to have... should we all... I mean, environmental problems don't stop at the border.
Certainly.
So what do we do about that?
Well, it's actually interesting. I always find that America is very bad at marketing its own mistakes. Like, the same thing happens in Russia and Norway and all over Europe every day, and no one even raises a finger. In the United States, there's people watching out for these issues. There's interest groups, there's NGOs that really press the government to be accountable and raise issues that are important. And I think that's a very good process, and that's not being done much internationally at all, especially in Asia and Russia. Europe is kind of coming along, but there's still not much environmental protection there, even though their reputation conveys a totally different picture. So I think America is probably ahead in many ways, even though current like policies don't really work in favor of the environment, but nonetheless, there's an EPA, which is something that you wouldn't find in most Western European countries.
Interesting. I probably succumb to the reputation I always thought of Europe as having more stringent environmental controls.
The PR is phenomenal.
Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add or say to prospective transfer students?
Not just give the UW a shot. It's a really good school, and if you don't get in the first time, apply again. It's definitely worth it.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much, Marcus.
No problem.